Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to ask you to stick around. 30 short minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, and all done with no manipulation. The only thing we ever try to do on this radio show is give you accurate information. That information will help you verify and identify the plan of God for your life if you're interested. And if in case you are, you can always orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But my job is to get it accurate and give you the accurate information. I would like to remind you that we do have transcriptions of all of our messages, and we have put into print recently 3 volumes of transcripts from the year 2019, and those are all available free of charge through the ministry. That's 52 Flatline messages put into 3 different books, and you can read that. I like that because the written word sticks around when the word of the radio or television goes away if you don't have a radio or television. But anyhow, those are available. We always make those transcriptions available. And that's for you if you'd like to have that, as well as our other material. You can always go to rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, and see the books that we've written. They're all free. We don't charge for anything because we've always believed, as I learned that from my very own pastor, that if God's in it, he will pay for it. If I have to run around and hustle up money and beg for support, then God's not in it. That's me trying to raise the money. So we broadcast now currently about 30 radio shows across America every Sunday morning. I don't know where you are and where you're listening, but thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, God gave you 2 ends, one you can think with, one you can sit on. And success in your life is going to depend on which one of those you use. Heads, you will win. And tails, you will lose. And remember, bad decisions limit future options. If you make enough bad decisions, you're going to wind up with no options left. So today, we want to talk about the tracks of history. The tracks of history. You'll be listening to this show in April, January, March, April, May. You'll be listening to the show in May, I guess, of the year 2020. Here it is April, and I'm recording it a little earlier, but we want to talk about the tracks of history. And it doesn't take a genius to read trends of history. If you look at the trends of going on in the history of the United States of America, not the world, just our country. If you try to read the trends of history, it doesn't take a genius or require any sort of smarts to understand where we've been, where we're going, and you can see it unfolding before your eyes. Over 200 years ago, we began to be a great nation. With the War of Independence. You remember, 13 North American colonies of Great Britain declared themselves independent and called themselves the United States of America. And these United States did not seek to overthrow the government of Great Britain. They simply just wanted to be separated and be a free nation out from underneath their control. So they refused to pay taxes imposed by the British Parliament. Which these United States claimed was a taxation without any representation, and that resulted in the War for Independence. So in 1793, the Treaty of Paris ended the war and recognized the sovereignty of the United States of America. Now, it's a well-known fact, this won't catch you by surprise, that many of our founding fathers were believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and found much encouragement from the Scriptures. In fact, the Bible has always been the basis for cultural and moral direction for many of America's trusted leaders, including the current president. This is what he said at the National Prayer Breakfast. Our current president, Donald Trump, said, "In America, we don't punish prayer. We don't tear down crosses. We don't ban symbols of faith. And we don't muzzle pastors. In America, we celebrate faith. We cherish religion. And we hold our values in prayer, and we praise our sights to the glory of God." That's from Donald Trump. Other men have said great things, like Robert E. Lee once said, "I can only say that I am nothing but a poor sinner trusting in Christ alone for salvation." And he also said, I prefer the Bible to any other book. There's enough in that to satisfy the most ardent thirst for knowledge and to open the way to true wisdom and to teach the only road to salvation and eternal happiness. It's not above human comprehension, and it's sufficient to satisfy all its desires. Those are the words of Robert E. Lee. John Quincy Adams, President of the United States, 1825, said the first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible. He said, I speak as a man of the world, and I say to you, search the Scriptures. Ulysses S. Grant, President of the United States, in 1869, as he was dying of cancer, wrote in his memoirs, not for prestige, but so as not to leave his family in debt. So he wrote his memoirs and to sell so his family wouldn't be in debt. And he finished it in time, and the royalties saved his family from financial ruin. But this is what Ulysses S. Grant wrote. Hold fast to the Bible as the sheet anchor of your liberties. Write its precepts in your heart and practice them in your lives. To the influence of this book, we are indebted for the progress made, and to this we must look as our guide in the future. You know, after that Civil War in 1861 to 1865, God raised up some mighty evangelists. Men you may have never heard of, like D.L. Moody, who was converted in 1855 at the age of 17. Moody preached all across America, all across England, all across Scotland. And in America, he would often have crowds that numbered in the thousands. His last sermon was given in Kansas City, Missouri, 1899. The Moody Bible Institute and the church remain in Chicago even today in honor of him and his great ministry. But after Moody came another famous evangelist in the United States named Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday lived and preached from 1862 to 1935. He was an ex-professional baseball player who converted Christ and entered into the ministry and held campaigns in America's largest cities and held the largest crowds of any evangelist before the advent of electronic sound systems. That means no PA system. Over the course of his ministry, it's estimated he preached to more than 100 million people face-to-face, and most without electronic sound systems. He was a conservative evangelist who believed in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. He believed in the virgin birth. He believed in the substitutionary atonement and bodily resurrection, as well as the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Billy Sunday. And then after him, in 1918, William Franklin Graham, a Southern Baptist evangelist, who became known internationally proclaiming the work of Christ on the cross for the remission of sin. According to his staff, more than 3 million people responded to his invitation. More than 400 crusades in 185 countries. The first one being in Grand Rapids, Michigan, attended by thousands when he was only 29 years old. In South Korea, he attracted more than 1 million listeners to a single preaching service in South Korea. He also appeared in China in 1988 and in North Korea in 1992. And then revival began to sweep through America's youth from the early 60s through the 70s in organizations like Campus Crusade, Young Life, Youth for Christ, Navigators, all had an amazing result. And the reason I bring all this up to you is to show that these events demonstrated the unprecedented period of Christian revival from the 1860s to the mid-1980s, but there was a big change in the American culture, a shift in American culture, primarily the worship of gifts and not the giver, the worship of gifts and not the giver. After the conflicts of World War I and World War II, then Korea, eventually Vietnam, many of the young people in America began to reject authority figures and sought a culture of free love with no responsibility. By the way, rejection of authority is an indicator of personal and national destruction. So if you have a son or a daughter or a grandchild that can't handle authority, you've got trouble brewing. And the question I have to ask you is, do they react or respond when you discipline them? And how do they handle unfair decisions at school or at work? Because the secret to living a long, wonderful life is authority orientation, as Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents. Honor your father and mother, so it'll be well with you, and you'll live a long time. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. You know, when this attitude began to change in America, Satan took a shift and raised up his own. And of all things, a woman named Madeline Murray O'Hare, founder of the American Atheist and published an atheist lawsuit when her life demise was a man whose son John dismembered, stuffed in camp human bones, and she was robbed and murdered. This was what she did. And then began forcing all by. We were well on our way day. 1973, 70s, and there was any young people do that. Who, not the effective day, able to get back. Well, the latitude of God. Beginning of Satan is, and down knows when. You know, people worry like we have it happen. Help me. It doesn't take enjoying that. But every establishment caught by a bit. I'm not a politician. Think our militia and law that idealism and times. I mean, late night shark and just that many such unintelligible lie. The coup is an old pastor, 19, Alden, who elected our future cure leaders. He wrote Position Described by Notre Dame, and that's in order that theme, Junior, by net and trust to cultural believers. Who client name? If you're a believer, it's to handle main 20. He that handles trust will be better. Now, why do I need to know what you think that you do? The volitional decision make you are responsible for those that who wisely vision about this. The question of what is your in your life? Human view, divine view. Is, and that's today, line called divine view. You make errors. If you make you feel Russian. So all viewing in Bible way we in Romans, stop thinking that he is God and his word. That's a different way of think. Like, so the you react, spot difference. The act, fair such. Bible or for example, are you looking for, are you wanting to have a do you like it? Acting to an unfair situation. It doesn't have, could be unfair. But if you get angry and bitter and react, you're not thinking Bible doctrine. You see, it takes profile to forgive. And the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself. There's a humility profile. That if you're going to forgive people and forget what they did, that's the function of impersonal love, as you can read about it in Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. Be kind to one another. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. That's a biblical concept in the Bible. So, if you have this supernatural asset of impersonal love, which is a problem-solving device, then you can handle any exigencies that come into your life, any exigencies that come your way. So, let me go back to Proverbs 16:20 again. Listen. He that handles the matter wisely shall find good. Wisely is the Hebrew word shakal, and it means to be very prudent, or to give attention to, or to have comprehension. The word prudent means to be practical, or exercise good judgment, to use caution, or to be wise or judicious. So here's some principles on being prudent. It means you got to have some wisdom. And the first principle you have to remember is we are not born wise. We have to acquire wisdom. We must. Because if you don't acquire wisdom, you never understand divine viewpoint. You may wind up knowing God, but you'll never understand the God you know without some wisdom. So Proverbs 2:10 tells you this. When wisdom enters your heart, there it is, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, then discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. We call that the Fantastic Four. Wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and understanding. All wisdom starts with knowledge. And this verse says, when knowledge is what? Pleasant to your soul. Do you enjoy learning God's word? Do you enjoy it? You know, a lot of people enjoy certain sweets. So I remember watching a politician recently who was home during the coronavirus, and she showed her refrigerator and all the chocolate she had in there. She loved chocolate. Well, a lot of us love chocolate, and caramel and coconut, and all these things. But do you love the Word of God? Do you go after the Word of God? Do you seek the Word of God in your life? That's the key here. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge becomes pleasant, do you want it? Do you want more of it? You see, when you get knowledge, that's information. And when you cycle the information into your heart, it becomes wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge acted upon. Wisdom is knowledge that's been learned and stored in the framework of your soul. So when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, your heart is there's two things the Bible talks about, your mind and your heart. It's one thing to go to church and to listen to the pastor and to learn what he's hearing, what he's saying, and to have knowledge of it, that it goes into your mind, where it's called in the Bible gnosis or knowledge. But it doesn't do you any good until you apply it or you cycle it over to your heart, which is then it's called epinosis, or epi being full and knowledge being gnosis. So there's a difference between hearing it and keeping it. And that's when the Lord Jesus Christ said, happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it, in Luke 11:27-28. Hearing it is not keeping it, but hearing and keeping produces wisdom. So once you have wisdom in your heart that comes from knowledge of Bible doctrine, then you have discretion. And the Bible says discretion will preserve you. And then you have understanding. Understanding will keep you. This is what I call spiritual X-ray vision. We all have it if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful thing. It doesn't have anything to do with your high IQ. It doesn't mean that. This is the invisible ministry of the Holy Spirit taking the power of the living Word of God that begins to be wisdom in your soul, and the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, gives you phenomenal discernment and insight through the eyes of Scripture. Thus, you have what I call spiritual X-ray vision, and that can save you a lot of mistakes. So, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, then discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. Preserve you, the Hebrew word shamar, means to guard you. Guard you from what? From yourself, obviously. And keep you, the Hebrew word natsar, meaning to protect or maintain your position. You are your own worst enemy. That's the problem. So the first bit of wisdom we all have to understand is like this. There is a distinct difference between knowing God and understanding God. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah 9:24, let him who glorifies glory in this, that he understands me and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For these are the things that I delight in, saith the Lord. So the Christian life we talk about on this radio show, is a supernatural lifestyle, and it can only be executed by means of God the Holy Spirit using Bible doctrine of the Word of God. So, listen, Superman doesn't have anything on you. You've got all these supernatural assets. As a believer, you have a Bible. As a believer, you have the indwelling and the filling of the Holy Spirit. As a believer, you have a right pastor to teach the Word of God to you. This is the supernatural life. So it's possible that you could know God through Jesus Christ, his appointed Son, but it's also possible that you would not understand the God you know. That's possible. So every decision you make has to be based on either human wisdom, what dear Ann says, or dear Abby, or it's based on biblical insight. Every decision. And the difference amounts to this. There is a judgment seat of Christ in 1 Corinthians 3:11-16, and your decisions will be evaluated and you'll be rewarded based on those divine good productions. So the difference between the mature believer and the less than mature believer is obvious when it comes to making decisions, because the immature believer simply guesses. He's guessing. What is God's will? And he has those famous last words, well, I prayed about it. It's just a guess. The immature believer winds up being impetuous, anxious, judgmental, and minus impersonal love assets. But the mature believer, the one we're talking about, one with wisdom, discernment, knowledge, insight, and understanding, he's going to be deliberate, relaxed, and using those problem-solving devices. That's what he's going to be. that must be you. As we go through the tracks of history and continue on this study, you've got to stay on track. You've got to stick the course. You know, you've heard me say there's a train wreck coming. I can hear the whistle blowing now. If you look down the tracks, that's what's happening in America today. Not only in our country, but obviously other countries as well. But I'm concerned about us. How is this affecting us? And how is this crisis affecting you? And what will be the America that comes out of it? Are you going to stick with the wheel tracks of righteousness? Are you going to follow the tracks laid down by the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to go off on your own, my way, highway? I don't know. But if you're a mature believer, your decisions will be deliberate, they will be relaxed, and you will use those problem-solving devices God's given to you. There's a lot more to say about this, and I'll come back to it next week. So please stick around. Please join me and write to me if you need to. RickHughesMinistries.org is our website. RickHughesMinistries.org. You can always correspond with us there. Until next week, this is Rick saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, please stick around. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And no manipulation, no con games. We're not trying to solicit money. We're not trying to sell you anything. We're just offering free biblical information. Information that pertains to the plan of God for your life, if you're interested. If I can verify and identify that plan, then you can orient and adjust to it. It's up to you. But my job is to give you accurate information and to help you to develop a way of thinking that's different than the world thinks. The world thinks in terms of human viewpoint. And believers in the Lord Jesus Christ think in terms of divine viewpoint. That's thinking in terms of what the Scripture says. And we do everything we can to verify everything we tell you with scriptural documentation. I gave you two ends, one you sit with, one you think with, and success in your life is going to depend on which one of those ends you use. Heads, you'll win, and tails, you'll lose. So God's given you the ability to have some phenomenal insight. It's called discernment. It comes from wisdom, which comes from the Bible. And wisdom's built on the knowledge that you learn and you understand. So if you're interested, please keep listening because we have a lot to say. But let me remind you of one other thing. We have all of our radio shows now transcribed. And so we have a complete list of every show we did during the year 2019 transcribed. And you can order that free of charge in three different volumes. And, you know, each show is 30 minutes long, so it may be five or six pages in the volume that you can read, but it's 52 different shows transcribed for you there. Also, all of our shows are now podcast on the different podcast venues such as Apple iPod. There's a free app called Spotify. There's a free app called Anchor. These are venues where you can podcast and you can hear the show if you just simply search for The Flatline, The Flatline, F-L-O-T, which stands for The Forward Line of Troops. Okay? So what we're trying to do here on this show is teach you 10 unique processes so that when you learn them, it can stop the outside storms, the inside sources. That's where stress is inevitable, but stress is optional. Because if the circumstances will do to you, but the stress is what you do to yourself. Now today we'd like to talk about cry for believers, cry for believers. As our nation moves through these days, actually in mortal and according to it, it probably pays as Christians to as an effort or in what we're doing, an effort. Cover from train hospital rally to the flagpole. Pray for the skirt it used, such as the rally. It's used to describe a savers in the Lord. To if we use it's an acronym by closest. The R stands for as we put in a time of both personal and you have to think deep. Fever the nature and thus off upon us. 6-10 tells he chastens. But if you partake of a bastard, correct in reverence, shall we not live? So with the believers, a discipline and a warning comes in an intention. Be without you're not a son. Those whom the Lord and he and then said more be wrath. That day. One is tough through no cry. We have been going to add God using you. Has God Heavenly Father him for your delight? So then they did by intended. We drift off course. Tendency to desert. And he's not a list. The first we call the scoop because he won't listen to provision. Now you can learn the hard easy way. Spirit, by Holy Spirit. He be your have a Bible scripture. The word will well qualify for you. Turn a past. If in fact you change that Bible, study the verse. Show thyself to be truth. If you get it, you obviously be 18. Grace in Jesus Christ. Grow. For disaster to do. And we know who's no discipline. If you've been under the book, they have brought you have nowhere else. And so my grace. Another discipline called. I read an article in the 18th verse or just 14. There is a judgment day yet to come. Nations, like our nation, there is no future day of judgment. Thus, the sins of are judged in time. And so the question is, has God allowed a judgment in time, client nation, that we, America, have we become so liberal and so covetous that we've lost you? And our self-evaluation, I wish you'd think about that. Have we surrendered to the Lord of luxury rather than to the Lord Jesus? I mean, has your lake house become more important than the church house? Because 2 Timothy 3:4 says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, that's a bad thing. The Reverend Billy Graham said as far back as 1949 these words, now today in America, we find that people are more concerned with things than they are with the things of God. They're more concerned with pleasure, more concerned with money, more concerned with the things of life rather than they are the things of Almighty God. Have we, you, me, our friends, have we lost our moral direction and converted what is evil into what we now describe as good? I mean, is anything immoral anymore? Or do we now justify all sins as not really a choice, but rather something that God made me do because he made me that way? As a nation, have we become wise in our own eyes? Proverbs 3:7 warns about that. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and avoid evil. You know, wise in your own eyes is an arrogant concept. It's figuring that you're smarter than God, that you really don't need any information from the Bible, from the Scripture. You got it all figured out. And when you have a nation with that sort of attitude, then you have a nation ready to be destroyed. Hosea 4:6-11 was a verse that I like to refer to. I know who it was written to, but I think there's an application for us today. He said, my people, because you rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you forgot the laws of your God, I will forget your children. The more they multiplied, the more they sinned against me, and I will change their glory into shame, the Lord says. They feed on the sin of my people and direct their desires toward their iniquity, and it will be like people, like priests, and so I'll punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat, but not have enough, and they will play the harlot, but not increase, because they stopped giving heed to the Lord, wise in their own eyes. Has knowledge become pleasant to your soul? That's the Proverbs, that's the important thing. See, without knowledge, spiritual information, there's no discernment and there's no insight. When you hear the Word of God taught and believe it and transfer it into your soul, it becomes wisdom, and that wisdom gives you discernment and insight. But without biblical doctrinal information, without that wisdom, there's no divine viewpoint. You have wrong priorities and wrong way of thinking. And that's what's happening in this country today. I'm afraid to say we've ignored God's Word as a whole, not everybody, but as a whole, it's hard to find somebody who really believes what the Bible says, especially in the educational field. So have we become so rich and so powerful that we think we can buy our way out of some sort of national disaster? And do we actually think no one can defeat our military might? I mean, there was a time in this country when we used to call on God. In World War II, in June 6, 1944, as American troops headed towards Omaha Beach, the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, read a prayer to all Americans from the diplomatic reception room at the White House at 9:57 p.m., and that text was released well in advance so all Americans could pray it with him, and it was displayed throughout the remainder of the war. We need men of leadership that will pray for our country and encourage us to pray for one another if that prayer is offered in the right way. We've talked about that before. A right thing done in the wrong way is still wrong, and you can pray till you're blue in the face, but if you're not a child of God, that prayer's not going to be answered until you pray the one important prayer, Father, save me. And secondly, if you are a child of God and you have unconfessed sin in your life, that prayer cannot be answered because the Bible says, if I acknowledge sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we have to deal with our sin first. But if we deal with our sin, we have a legitimate opportunity to go before our Heavenly Father and plead for deliverance. If these questions that I propose are true, then what can we do to rally? What can we do to recover and reorient as a nation, or just as an individual Christian? So R, the rally cry that we started with, the big R word, is what we've been dealing with, and now we're going to move into the A word, R, and then A, time of reflection, and now A stands for a time of affection, from reflection to affection. All right, you ready? Affection means to get back to divine appreciation of who and what God is. It's my opinion, and mine alone, I guess, but I believe America as a whole no longer has a personal love for God. I think we fell in love with all the gifts that He bestowed on us more than the giver Himself. And I offer as proof this verse in 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His mandates, and His mandates are not a burden. Christians come in all shapes and sizes, male, female, boy, girl, etc. They're different levels in spiritual maturity. It's kind of like football teams, you know. I mean, there's a lot of universities that play football, but they don't all have the same coach, and they don't all have the same record, and they have different schemes and different defenses and different offenses. And there's a lot of Christians that are on the team, but they play by a different playbook. But God said in Jeremiah 9:24, He's looking for those who know Him and understand Him. He wants them to know what? That He exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. God is looking for those who know Him and understand Him. So the question that I've asked before is, how can you love the God you don't understand? For example, do you know the essence of God? If I gave you a blank piece of paper and I said, write down the essence of God, what would you put? Well, I don't know. Could you say God is sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, immutability, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence? He even has a sense of humor. He made us, didn't He? So how can you love God when you don't even know Him? Do you understand what the righteousness of God rejects and the justice of God must judge? This is why the Bible says, He that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God through Him. The only way you can have any relationship with God the Father is to come through God the Son, because that's where your righteousness comes from, not on your own. That's why the Bible says, not by works have we been saved, but by grace. It's the grace of God, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Can you explain the difference to me between spirituality and maturity in the Christian life? Do you understand the difference in those two things, spirituality and maturity? Because any believer who's filled with the Holy Spirit is spiritual. Billy Graham cannot be any more spiritual than you. Your pastor cannot be any more spiritual than you. But any Christian who is not filled with the Spirit is carnal, the Bible says. He's fleshly. So without the use of rebound, you are carnal, you're out of fellowship with God, and you're not spiritual. But if you confess your sin to God and allow the Holy Spirit to regain control of your life, you're spiritual. But that doesn't mean you're mature. Maturity is a concept based upon the content of doctrine in your soul, how much of the Word of God you've learned, applied, and used in your life. So do you understand the difference between these things? Do you understand the difference between sin and evil? Do you? Do you know that all sin is evil, but all evil might not be sin? Evil is a system. It's a plan, Satan's game. See, God's plan is based on grace, grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Satan's plan is based on evil, and it's taking grace and twisting it a little bit. So it's Satan saying, well, if you're just a good boy and you don't fornicate and you don't cheat on your taxes, then when God judges you, He'll cut you a break and you'll be allowed to come to heaven. That's evil. That's the organized religion. Organized religion will tell you if you're nice and sweet and give money to your church and don't do anything really bad, you'll go to heaven. And that's not true. Have we substituted emotion for knowledge in our worship? That's a good question. I mean, is that going on in America today? Have we become so emotional that we don't want to be taught anymore? We just want to do praise and worship and sing and raise our hands and sway back and forth and have a little message from some celebrity that might motivate us a little bit? Have we made God's name and His Son the object of financial profit, like selling books, selling records, selling movies and blogs? All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, all designed to do one thing. Don't be mistaken about it. All designed to make money. They don't make money, they wouldn't sell them. So do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Matthew 5:6 says you should. Listen, our Heavenly Father loves us. We know that. But the bigger question for you to answer is this. Do you love Him? If you say, yes, I love God, do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you hunger for truth? Do you have an insatiable desire to get knowledge? Has knowledge become pleasant to your soul, as Proverbs 1 talks about? Has it? Because without knowledge, there's no wisdom, and without wisdom, there's no insight and discernment. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but a fool despises wisdom and instruction. Which one are you? Do you have a hunger for God's word? Do you pray that God would send someone that would teach you? Are you listening to this show because you're learning something and you're not getting it locally where you live? Is that going on? Fools despise wisdom. Fools despise instruction. It's awful bad when you see it in your family or when you see it in your friends that are not have no interest in God's word. Or they think they're smarter than God and they've justified why they can sin and get away with it, and they don't think there's anything wrong with what they're doing. Loving God means you obey God. And loving God means you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It means you're occupied with His Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Begin to focusing on the gifts that He gave us. And we're never in our relationship with the Father. Because loving Him from the cosmic system and the Lord occupies us. Love Him and put our eyes on Christ. Hope the devil's way. Situation 3, the faith to you. The storm of the disciples kind because they thought it's the Lord that we had maybe going. Any crisis, we know He's in. Be afraid of what they faith bring. Do you hear the mollified pastor being fed? The cosmic 4:7 glorified plot. Then you will find if you arrive in the devil's world alone. Hit through 4 till hearing. To come back was a who partakes. Solitaires discern the spiritual growth and verse are become with you on a day. They learn glory and apply pride. If it's on your friendship, every soul be supporting like the president. Authority. Yielding yourself, having a will. There are maybe something good this to be certain surprise. He nursely in. So how are you hanging over if is it going to affect your mind? This is what it is. Your host plotline.
Ricky. Him at P.O. Well. The news from Town Keywan Key, Chester Reading, by Medical Center. Your Chester Regional Medical.